Okay, so Jordan, how did Ira Hill get started, and how did you guys come up with the name, and weren't you guys originally Ataxia before that?
Yes, we were Ataxia. Okay, so Ataxia started in June of 2013, and basically, we all went to the same high school and figured we've all known each other for, like, basically ever, and it kind of just, you know, we're all really good friends to start off like that, and we just kind of were playing instruments, figured that, why not start a band? Well, we're all in the same kind of music, and it just clicked really well. We all good band chemistry. But Ira Hill started, since we were Ataxia, I kind of just had no, like, personal meaning. It was more of, it was a cool word. It's a disease, and we've eventually been kind of getting some stuff for that, and I didn't really want it. So our first practice space was on, it was off of Ira Hill, was the name of the road. Like, the road was called Ira Road, and it was a hill kind of a few, like, miles down, so. Had a cool ring to it. It was unique. Man, we went with it. So
nice. Now, I just saw actually the lyric video for Shame, and then I've, you know, and I've also heard a few of your other songs, like 1931 California Smile. I gotta ask, see, being a guitar player myself, you guys have a great, you know, your guitar player has a great guitar tone.
Yes,
he does. You know, and I mean, I'm just wondering, okay, what's the gear? Because I mean, it sounds like he's using an Engelant.
Hey, man, it's Brian. I'm actually the guitar player.
Oh, so, okay.
what I'm using, I actually have a Line 6 Bogner MK2 head. And then I have a Bogner Alchemist cab, which is running some Celestion V30s in it.
Nice. So you're using a solid state Line 6 then?
No.
Oh, so, it's the tube?
Actually, it's a collab with Line 6 and Bogner. It's actually a tube amp.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, it kicks ass, dude.
Yeah, I've never played it, but I've seen it at Guitar Center actually, and. What's it like? Because I've got a pod. That's about the extent of my Line 6 experience. But I mean, I like it for recording, you know. But what's
do you have the Do you have the HD, like 100 or 500?
The 500.
Nice. It's actually pretty comparable. So obviously, Line 6 in general has a nice kind of modern metal tone. But it has a little bit of the 12K range, as far as treble is concerned.
Okay.
But with the Bogner and the tubes, it kind of gives it a warmer feel, and it's a little bit more beefy. It has a lot more low end. So it kind of make up for what each other are lacking, and then with the collab, just kind of make an overall good warm tone.
So what did they take over from the pod and throw it in the Bogner? I mean, what did they take, some of the effects or an amp emulator? Or?
Well, so the HD 500 does a little bit more. You obviously have like a bunch of different like ways that you can set it up. Whereas I'd almost actually prefer the HD 500 over mine, because yours is a little bit more versatile than mine. But as far as live is concerned and the kind of tone that we're going for, it works.
Nice, nice. So what are you using guitar wise?
We both have LTD EC 1000 deluxes.
Nice. Yeah, I love ESP, man.
Aren't they sweet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know what's great? Their low end is better than most companies' high end.
Right.
You know, I mean, doesn't it seem like that? Because I don't know if you remember this, but back in the 80s, they used to ghost build a lot. And what ghost building is like, you know, Kramer. Kramer actually never made a guitar before Gibson bought them 10 years ago. You know, ESP actually made all the Kramers from the 80s.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's how good ESP is. They're actually building for other companies. You know, so I mean, you can't beat that. But let's talk about Just Keep Swimming. How did the writing process come about that? Because you got, I mean, this album like literally doesn't let up. It's like one punch after another.
That was definitely the goal. We had to almost describe it as like a dynamic audio roller coaster in a way, because like our first record with Ataxia was a strictly metalcore. I would say. I mean, it was just kind of like one line throughout. And we always have like troubles like identifying with a particular genre. We like all the different kinds of music. We're kind of just like, you know what, let's just write how what we feel and not like try to force a certain kind of song, because then it just came out more naturally, and we wanted to make it like dynamic where the listener can kind of like you can kind of keep their attention the whole way through, too. You know?
Well, and I noticed, too, because I've listened to some of the Ataxia stuff as well, and it sounds like with Just Keep Swimming, you got a lot more into melody.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're concentrating more on hooks. I would describe when you guys were Ataxia as more of, you know, a hardcore band, but a band geared towards other musicians. Whereas here, you know, you're thinking about melody composition and, you know, like, you know, coming up with good hooks, which is good for general population.
Yeah, we just want to try some new things and kind of experiment a little bit, because it's definitely what, this is the next step. It's about kind of like testing ourselves and getting a little bit better too. And we can't really progress if we're doing the same thing. So
yeah. Now I got to ask you guys. This is for both of you because Jordan's still there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. If each one of you could pick your own favorite song off "Just Keep Swimming" and the rest had to go into the fire, Oof. Which would it be and why?
Oof. Man, I do not. It's always hard to answer that. I mean, I feel like they're all. There's like one point in time where I loved like one of the songs. It was like my like absolute favorite. At the moment,
it's kind of like picking your favorite kid, isn't it?
It's like I have 7 kids right here, and it's like telling 6 of them to go outside and sleep in the garage. I mean, like, I'm gonna go with California Smile right now at the moment. I think it's heavy. I think it hits hard. It describes a lot of raw attitude behind it that we needed to get out. So at the moment, for sure, I'm feeling that one. What are you, Brian?
I don't know, man. Like what Jordan said, I'm kind of feeling all of them, but for the time being, probably Shame. It's always just kind of like the one that's sort of stuck out with me as far as the heaviness, kind of hardcore, and singing that goes along with it. I think it's like a solid mix between all of them, so that has always been a continued favorite of mine.
Now, during the writing recording process and the mix down of Just Keep Swimming, because I get a lot of this from musicians, and like I said, I'm a musician myself, and during, you know, and I'm familiar with this process, and this happened at my band all the time. How different were the songs when you first envisioned them in your head to when they were finally played to you after they were mastered?
Some definitely kind of came out to like that the end image that we wanted it to go for. Some were like beating around a lot in the studio and ended up coming out a lot different. But I mean, we're absolutely satisfied with everything and how it turned out. Our producer is phenomenal too. John Burke over at Vibe Studios is one of the best in Cleveland, absolutely. And he's done with us. He did Memoirs. He did Just Keep Swimming too. I think that he shows a lot of great info too, just helping us like kind of do the best that we can also.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you say is the overall theme lyrically of Just Keep Swimming?
I would say about like the themes, if you want to put it under one general category, it's definitely about like perseverance, and kind of that's what the name of the EP comes from. But every song, if we look into it, it's a certain specific event kind of triggered the whole thing.
Well, and what was that?
Well, let's see. Some of it has to do with loss. Note to self about loss of a close friend to suicide. 1931 is about like the loss of Devin's family, grandma, and just also like vinyl's about like a breakup problem happened to the band. It's always like a certain event, and we kind of take it how raw it is and how fresh that is, and kind of just go with the lyric and the writing with it, and then it just comes out naturally.
I also get, because I got the perseverance when I first saw the title, because I saw the title obviously before I heard it, you know, and you know, right. And like, you know, I mean, that's, you know, is somewhat of a term, you know, just keep swimming, just keep chugging along, just keep plugging away, so on and so forth. But when I heard the songs, you know, I hear what you're talking about in the songs, but I also hear about, you know, how, you know, in certain ways, how you can or how you have, you know, come through it.
Right. Well, like what I would say like the last few years have been like a lot of just, I've been through a lot of adversity to kind of just stay afloat. And this is kind of like a culmination of just like having a problem and either like giving up or pushing forward, your two options, you know? And it's like, we've noticed that like no matter how awful something might be, we just hang on and keep pushing with it. And like, it just ends up amounting to something amazing in the end. So we've noticed that it wasn't matter what you do either. I mean, it doesn't have to be like regarding music. I mean, just life in general. It's like whenever you got like a problem, it's like you're the one that chooses to give up, not like the problem. So
yeah. Now, do you think that bands and artists come up with their best material through the worst of times? Because I remember, like, looking back at stuff that my band did when we were broke and almost homeless. That's when our best stuff was done. Right. You know, I don't know. It was because we were hungry, or you know, or what. But
yeah, I mean, we need to make money.
Yeah, exactly. But because when you're forced to, you know. But you see it in some bands now. Like Guns N' Roses is a perfect example. They were broke and literally homeless. They were sleeping in the studio when Appetite for Destruction came out. Okay, now that they're bazillionaires, Chinese Democracy sucked.
it's weird to look at. I mean, I don't know. I think it's just once you get like a lot bigger, then like a lot more people looking at you, the fishbowl's and like increased in that, like everyone's looking at you under the magnifying glass, and it's like, I think the record labels, they got A&R, they got like, have a lot of people, they got to make it like as appealing as possible. They don't own their music, I feel like, at that point anymore, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They become their own brand. They actually become the brand, and then they lose their identity.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I understand what you're saying.
Well, let me ask you this. Say, because you guys are an up and coming indie act right now, and I mean, and you're obviously kicking ass. You know, what would you do if Virgin or Atlantic or Capitol, you know, called you up and said, "Okay, we want to sign you up with our standard first album contract"? What would you do?
I mean, it would be humbling and everything, but I mean, with the rate everything's been going lately, we want to keep pushing and keep making the best that we are. We always want to strive for the best that our potential kind of like offers. We want to just keep pushing. What's the next thing we can do? And we're never satisfied really with where we're at. So, I mean, it would definitely be an amazing experience. And the next step would then be like, what do we do after that?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Cause I've heard a lot of artists that did sign that first album deal. And then I talk to them a year or two later down the road, and they're like, you know, well, they started telling us how to cut our hair, you know, they started telling us how to play, you know, they started telling us how to sing and everything, and they tried making us to what they thought would work, you know. I mean, do you think that do you think that that survives in this day and age where for example, like Ira Hill, if it wanted to right now, it wouldn't take more than $50 and a couple emails to start its own label anyway. You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, in today, so you could put your own stuff on iTunes. You don't have to have an A&R rep down in LA do it, you know. I mean, so do you think that, you know, indie's the way to go now?
I mean, I think that it's almost oversaturated in a way. Everyone's in a band nowadays, and it's just so much harder because, like, it's easy to start a band up, but it's a lot harder to really, like, stand out. And now with these labels, my understanding is that they're just trying to find a way to make their investment back. And it's just so hard to make money because now with all the illegal downloading and streaming and Spotify and all that, you know, music isn't making the money that it used to. So for a label to profit off of a band, they need to really like push them and make them the most marketable thing that's going to bring them any sort of cash or revenue, because like it's not 10 years ago where bands are expecting to sell 200,000 copies in the first week and be like average and to stay on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. I think those days are over. Like, I mean, the days where absolutely. Like, you will never like here, like another thing, like you will never see another U2. And by that, I mean, where they, if you remember a few years ago, Live Nation just gave them a $60 million record deal. Those days are gone. You know?
I mean, unless they can find a way to make streaming into like something profitable for musicians again. I mean, it's just realistically, there's no way to like turn back into the whole like physical purchase in like a store. I mean, people still do, but it's dwindling, man.
Mm-hmm. But do you think maybe that's kind of a good thing? Because, like, from my point of view as a listener, you know, and as the owner of a brand that caters to unsigned artists, I mean, I've heard the best music of my life. You know,
right.
By doing that. And I would have never heard it, you know, before, you know, well, before I started Jammer Director, before the internet, even when the labels were telling me what to listen to.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's easier than ever to find music. And that's the thing. It's very consumer friendly, where like anyone, if they want to find something in 2 seconds, they can listen to a full album. But the issue is that for the musician who, to be able to like, keep doing that, they can't unless they're getting paid by some sort, because this is their career as well. So, I mean, if they can find a way to actually have bands profit off of streaming, then we can actually turn this industry around.
Yeah. Now, do you think those days are? Do you think those days are coming? Because I picture a renaissance for unsigned and indie artists coming up.
I mean, with Apple Music coming out, I mean, who knows? I mean, it could take a change. I'm gonna leave fingers crossed. We're just gonna keep doing what we're doing. Hopefully, that the industry falls with it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys are doing a great job. And, you know, I gotta compliment you on Just Keep Swimming. I mean, it's a fine album. It's solid all the way through. And I don't hear that in a lot of music.
Well, I appreciate that. Seriously.
let's talk about this. What are your plans to get this out to the masses?
Well, we've got that. We're in the process of getting it on every online distributor right now, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Google Play. It's on CD Baby at the moment, so, I mean, just to kind of, like, hold people over, they can order it from there. And also in the process of getting on YouTube so everyone can stream it. I mean, I don't know about, like, actual store retail store distribution or any of that kind of stuff at the moment, but definitely just as many places we can online. We printed out a lot of physical copies. We plan on maybe going to some Warped Tour dates and handing them out for free. Just getting it as many places as we can. We want to definitely hit the road, too, and just spread as much as possible because that's the only way you got to do it nowadays, honestly.
Oh, exactly. Have you guys ever thought about, like, playing abroad, like Europe?
Absolutely, man. I mean, that would be amazing. I think, an actual feasible standpoint at the moment.
Yeah. A little bit of a stretch. I mean, I think you guys would go over, like, in the UK, you know, like at Glastonbury or Download or something like that. I think you guys would go great.
Hell yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, we definitely want something like that. Yeah, for sure.
So, but, where can we find you guys on social media?
We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and this is a YouTube channel up right now. We got a Reverb Nation in case anyone still uses that. And that's about it. I mean, we're most active on Twitter and Facebook, I'd say, the most.
Nice, nice. Now, what do you have coming up? Are you guys going to shoot an actual video for Shame or anything like that, too?
We do have some music video ideas in the works, a little bit of a secret for what exactly the song will be, but we do have another promotional video for California Smile coming out soon. And as far as music is concerned, we want to, the next plan really is just kind of like taking it on the road. We want to hit the East Coast a little bit more, hopefully a few times by the end of the year, and then next year hopefully spread it out to the West a little bit.
Nice, nice. Well, anything that you guys are coming up with, please let us know and we'll promote it with you.
Absolutely, man. I really appreciate that.
So, well, thank you for being on the show, man. Really appreciate it. Brian and Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for having us. It's really awesome, seriously.